everybody. Welcome to Pep Talks, and I'm Eddie Pepitone, and this is my co-host Steve Lally, and we're here to discuss a lot. We have a lot on our plate today. As you know, our country has fallen by the wayside, but at least, and me and Steve, we're both guys who are struggling, I think struggling more than Steve because Steve is more spiritually connected than I am. And so when I struggle, I just go out into and hello, everybody. I just want to tell people before I start talking about my struggles. And it's so good that you tuned in to Facebook Live to hear about struggle, because it really is about struggle. I think more. Steve, do you agree with that? That it's, you ever hear the phrase, folks, en la luce? You know what that means?
No, what is that?
I don't know. I don't know.
Where did you hear it?
Huh?
Where did you hear it?
Somebody yelled it to me when I was out on the freeway. And I don't want to brag that I have that kind of lifestyle. I'm on freeways when you folks, I'm picturing you folks, don't get out much. But yeah, I've been on free, and someone just yelled out, "En la luce!" It means in the struggle.
Oh, you did know that?
I did. I thought it would be funny to say. I don't know.
Extremely funny. I believed it as well. Also, it means
funny,
in the struggle. It means
in the struggle, oh, and that's what.
And
we
they
do.
Saw you, and they knew. They just knew. You reminded.
En la luce. No, if I'm walking toward you or driving next to you, you can tell I'm in a struggle, a life and death struggle. You ever walk by someone in a supermarket or on the street and you go, "Woo, that guy is in a life and death struggle." Well, I radiate that, you know?
I think you're keying in on something, which is that you, you know, you and I, we attract mainly you and a few for me, fans of people who want on La Luce, who want to see someone, you know, elevating the struggle to an art form.
Elevating a struggle to an art form, yeah. And the struggle is more intense now because we've spiraled the country, you know, it's polarized. It's crazy polarized, right? Like, and angry and violent. And one of the things I was reading about this week was, and then checking it out on the internet, is like these hate groups going at each other. Antifa and the Proud Boys had some altercations. What? And the Proud Boys are a white supremacist group. And Antifa is like, well, they go after, they go after anti-fascists, or they go after, you know, fascists and stuff. But that, violence, it always leads to more violence. And like, again, not to quote Chris Hedges, but he's saying that, you know, a lot of people get behind Antifa from the left, and Hedges is like, no, we can't, because violence just begets more violence, you know? And the state, when you also involved in violence, it's just a great excuse for the state, i.e. the police,
to lock you the fuck up,
to repress, to like go, oh, look at the left.
Well, yeah, or anybody, look what's happening.
Mm-hmm. And it's a macho thing too, man. And the Proud Boys are just these fucking assholes who, they're assholes. But as Hedges said too, you know, it's people who've been left behind. Like, hate groups don't come out of nowhere. They don't just happen. You know, people, and I know some people don't like to hear this, you know, but, you know, a lot of these so-called, you know, white supremacists, whatever, they've been fucked over, and so they use this tribal bullshit. I mean, they're on the wrong side of things, but it's people who've been left behind by capitalism, you know?
But they don't know that. That's what...
Right. They don't know that. Their anger
might be... So
it's
hard to not have contempt for somebody who's too dumb to know, just, you know, to channel my own anger for a minute. Who's too dumb?
Well, I know, but you see, that's the thing. Violence will just get us more violent,
right?
Violence, and it'll give the state an excuse to be violence and repressive and all that stuff. But anyway, that's kind of, you know...
our cheerful subject for today, ladies
no,
and gentlemen.
No, no, no. It's not necessarily our subject for today, but I just wanted to mention it because I was – because when I start looking at that stuff on Lime – not on Lime. I mean, look, Lime – oh, geez. I love key lime cashew milk yogurt. And if that makes me an anti-fascist, then so be it. No. No, I often mispronounce line for lime, and it's gotten me in so much trouble, especially when someone's cut in front of me online, and I say, "Hey, buddy, I'm on Lime," and he's like, "Hey, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about."
It's funny how you use that online. You could be online and get cut off. You could be in a line and get cut off, but you can't be cut off online.
Ah, right. But you know. That's true. I guess by now you figured out we don't have much to talk about. But this is a podcast, and you know we didn't have a guest today. And last week we had Bethel Peterson, and the show went bang, bang, bang. And this week me and Steve are struggling to find what to do. And I'll tell you, you're not helping. You people out there, not helping. I feel judgment coming from you. Is it coming from me? I don't know. I visited a psychiatrist today. How about you? I visited a psychiatrist in Beverly Hills in the Cedar Sinai.
Not to brag. He has Cedar, that kind of a life.
I have that kind of coverage. And he's a very good guy. And he said, "I think you're doing okay." And I say, "Well, watch the podcast."
How often do you go to the shrink? How often do you talk to him?
Well, now this is funny. I think I've mentioned this. Well, I have a therapist and a psychiatrist. And again, I know a lot of you out there are just – I don't know what you have. You know, you have a puzzle. You have like a little puzzle of a church that you put together. I don't know what you do. But I have a therapist and a psychiatrist. By the way, when I'm talking down to you, I mean it. I have a therapist and a psychiatrist. And the therapist, and this is hilarious, he just retired. And it's the second therapist in a row that has retired.
You send them into the retirement.
Yeah. And they were both a little older. I prefer old people in therapy. I don't like youth in general. And that's nothing against – well, it is everything against anybody youthful, but –
not if you know them personally. Not if I know you personally, I'm not against you.
That's
just
right.
In general.
Right. If I know you personally, I really dig you, usually. But if I don't know you and you're, you know, youthful, you know.
You're part of the general problem.
And I'm, of course, being truthful. But what was I saying? Oh, yeah, my therapist retired. He was so fucked up. The second one in a row who told me, Eddie, I've got some bad news. He gave me a couple of months warning, but I was like, fuck, because finding another therapist, you know, is a pain in the ass. Do you go to therapy at all? You should go, Steve.
I go to...
Oh, I love it. They let you talk about yourself, and it's great.
He gave you a psychiatric notice. He gave you like a two-month, like...
A two-month...
Like you were the landlord. Basically.
Yeah, Eddie, he's retiring to Palm Springs. He's going to the desert. And I'm like, isn't it hot in the desert? He goes, yeah, but it's quiet, you know?
Ooh, sounds like some serial killer shit to me, man.
Yeah, well, I don't
Palm
know.
Palm Springs. It's a good place. Bob Hope lived there.
Bob Texaco Hope, who when the Japanese got interred during World War II, he bought up their land. Great guy.
For really, really
did That's
that.
Very true.
That's fucked up. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Man.
Total womanizer. Piece of shit, really. But other than that, he had, you know, the Road movies were incredible. I don't know if anybody saw Bob Hope and Chris Hedges' The Road to Guantanamo. Did anybody see that? Wouldn't that be funny if the Road movies like Bob Hope and Jerry Lewis, they were super politicized? You know what I mean? Like, hey, like Jerry Lewis doing his thing. And God rest
Jerry Lewis.
When did he die?
He died a while ago.
A while ago.
And when did he die, Aaron, our producer Aaron? About a year ago, yeah. Yeah. He his ego ruptured and killed him. His ego, he had a massive ego attack.
He was a crazy fuck, man.
I heard, yeah. He was super duper famous. We were just talking in the car, and not to brag that we talk in a car. A lot of people, when they're driving, don't talk to each other. Me and Steve talk to each other. A lot of people, when they're driving with someone else, will just be like straight ahead, like just going, you know, in their head. My father, when I used to drive with my dad, he used to actually talk to himself. Like I'd see him doing this, like, imagine you're just watching me. This is my dad going, oh, I didn't say, I don't know why the fuck she didn't. And I'm on the side of him going, oh my God, why?
You know, considering your mom and your dad,
yeah,
you've made it. you've done okay. I mean, now this.
It's not easy though. I wake up with incredible anxiety, you know. And does that mean I'm sensitive? Probably. Yes. I am sensitive.
Yeah, but it's not.
Look at me.
It's not making things better.
It's not making things better, though, Steve. Yeah. It was rough, little rough there. You know, a little rough go.
Well, you go to therapy, but I go to synagogue, and so every week I get sort of it makes everything okay. I don't know how
does that work with how does the synagogue. It's just that connection
It's the music first.
The music?
Yeah.
What is it? They open with James Brown? What do they do?
It's a black. I go to a black church. I go to a Baptist black church.
Well, you used to write for
yeah.
black people, right?
No, yeah, but no. I go to.
Can you mention who you wrote for?
Yeah, I wrote for Cat Williams.
Right.
Yeah.
Steve was Cat Williams' right-hand man, which is a funny kind of combination to me.
Did I ever tell you that story? Did you want to know about that? I mean, that was kind of a wild.
Let's tell it.
Well, you know, I was in the black clubs for a decade. And I was the only white Jewish guy. We had mutual friends that I didn't know. My close friends were his close friends. And the girl, Corey Mosley, she wanted to get in touch with Kat. And I had spoken to a guy who said, Kat's shooting a movie down the street. It was right down the street from where I was living. In my camper. I bought a camper.
You were living in a camper?
I was living in a camper.
You were ahead of the curve as far as America being homeless.
I totally was.
There's so many people live in their RVs. And I mean, I don't know if you see them in your city. In Los Angeles, so many people live in their fucking cars. And
it's getting worse,
man. It's getting worse.
Yeah.
And it's getting worse all over the country.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I don't know, but it's L.A.'s worse than it was. Oof. If you're on Venice Boulevard... It used to be just Venice Beach, you'd see Tent City. But now you can go down Venice Boulevard all the way to Culver City, and there's tents. RVs are lining the street, but then under the freeway, it's Tent City.
Wow.
Under the 405 freeway, it's Tent City under there. So it's bad, man. And I thought it was bad when I was living in my car. I didn't realize the car and the camper, the economy was good, and I had it good. And now looking back, I lived... in a rough time in my career through a very, very easy period in America compared to now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so, but anyway.
Why has it gotten so bad, you think?
Well, it's part of it is that Republicans have
dragged
us.
And Democrats.
They drag the Democrats to the right with them. They drag the Democrats... For political survival.
The Democrats are corporate whores as well.
Yeah, they're blue team Republicans who like gay people. That's what I say. That's exactly what I say, you know.
Exactly. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
Democrats are Republicans who like gay people.
Basically. That's it. That's the only difference.
But there's supposedly a new wave of Democrats.
Well, O'Rourke is going to run in Texas. You know,
Is he good?
He's good. He's a progressive guy, and he's going to unseat Ted Cruz, maybe.
Ted Cruz is such a piece of shit.
He's bad, man.
He's such a piece of shit. He is the epitome of being a piece of shit. Him, fucking Paul Ryan. I remember when that douchebag John Boehner, he's gone now.
Oh, he's now accusing the Republicans of being Nazis.
Boehner?
Yeah, look it up.
No way.
You can look it up.
I mean, it just goes... I mean, people are unbelievably like having this like fondness for George Bush W, and he was a fucking major war criminal. You know what I mean? Like,
they're having this fight, like, yeah. Oh, if it was only George Bush. But I mean,
because it was slower destruction than Trump. The destruction.
Well,
of, Trump is escalating the pace.
I'll tell you what. How Trump. Not only does the Trump regime signal, you know, the ascension of fascism, white supremacy, racism, and just kleptocapitalism. You know, kleptocracy. But here's the real thing. People, he's such an ugly dude, ugly inside, and he's ugly outside, but, you know, ugly. He's such an ugly man. Like, he makes fun of handicapped people. He did that during the campaign trail, and now he just mocks fucking people who were raped, you know, the Kavanaugh hearing. I mean, he's such a piece of shit. And he makes no bones about it. And people are so disenfranchised and angry that they like him. And then there's a segment of people who like him because he enriches them. But sorry, I had gas. But they don't like Trump. But people are really appalled by him because he is like, you know, he is the part of us that we hate. We all have this. We all have the capability to be scumbags, and we all have to always try to, you know.
Well, what's the difference between somebody like Trump and somebody like you or me, you know? What really is the difference?
Well, he's got $1 billion.
There you go. I mean, if you inherit $800 million when you're 20 or whatever,
yeah.
However old he was,
yeah.
You don't have to apologize for a lot of stuff, you know? I witnessed it once with a comedian who wasn't even that well known, but nobody would tell him that he was fucking up.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He wasn't
even that rich or well known. He was just more well known than the people I was rolling with.
Ah.
And I remember afterward, everybody was complaining about it, but the guy didn't know he was disconnected because nobody would tell him. And then with Trump, you got a guy who just won't, he can't hear that he failed, or he can't deal with the, like, if he actually had to reconcile the fact that he failed at something, he would come apart. He would completely unfurl. That's like his defense.
Defense. It's, I don't know, you know, and also he's representative of the fact of a big culture of denial and living in magical thinking. Like, this guy is, apparently Trump thinks he's a very good businessman when he's been bankrupt. I don't know how many times. Do you know the amount of times he's been bankrupt?
It's a bunch. Except more than two.
The guy is. A horrible businessman, a horrible person, and he got elected president. And the guy I read, Chris Hedges, he's like saying it didn't come from.
No, it didn't come out of nowhere.
It didn't come out of nowhere. Trump was vomited up because the Democrats, who used to watch out for people, and just all our institutions have been tyrannized by corporate power. And, you know, thank you for watching the Facebook live show. I'm glad you tuned in. Oh, do you want funny stuff? Here's something funny.
Oh, shit.
Here's something funny. My dog licks my face, and it's incredible. And she just licks it. And the other day she was licking it. And anyway, I don't want to finish that story, but Trump is
the American anatomy has – it's like an anatomy that's been sick for 40 years. And Trump is like the final. Trump is like the final shake. Like, you got to sweat out the fever, or you're gonna die. You might die, but the only way you're gonna survive is to sweat it out. And no more Obama biotics. No more Obama biotics. That's my bit of a, you know. You can't. It's not working anymore.
I want to see Michael Moore's movie 11/9 because it exposes the fact that Obama during the Flint water crisis, which I think is still ongoing, faked drinking a glass of water from Flint. He didn't really drink it, but for the cameras he was like, oh, this water's fine. He just put it up to his mouth and didn't even ingest it. I don't even think it touched his lips or something.
He also pretended to help out those people at the pipeline, the whole Native American pipeline that was going on. He pretended to stop the construction of the pipeline. And the only thing that... How did he do that? Because he sent something from the Army Corps of Engineers, some kind of mandate or some thing saying it was some deceptive language memo that said the construction of the pipeline will halt. But in essence, it had no power. It was the weirdest thing. And then the people from out there by the pipeline, the protesters, they showed video. They said, don't think this is over. We're still out here.
Yeah.
They're still constructing this thing. Yeah. So Obama was like... It's amazing to me the people who think...
People miss him, I think, because he was civil and he was well-spoken.
Because he was diplomatic.
He had a very nice, he was a very nice demeanor and he was diplomatic and civil. And now we have this.
We have Trump.
But you see, you can have that civil tone and that and speak well and yet not really
He bailed out Monsanto. He signed the Monsanto Protection Act. He allowed Monsanto and Bayer are merging because of this guy. Okay? He bombed and droned and fracked and drilled and pipelined like Bush. He did the same shit as Bush.
Even more. Criminalized whistleblowers big time.
Oh, well. So just like Bush.
Well, it seems like a good time for an ad.
It's
and
a great time.
By the way, the second half of the podcast. It's going to be hilarious, so don't go anywhere. Let's read an ad.
Adore Cafe. You guys buy, by the way, Adore Cafe. Thanks so much for being such a great sponsor.
They are really nice.
Eddie and I, we go there every day before our podcast. It's one of the reasons we're so inspired right now because we've visited. Adore Cafe is a family-owned cafe located where? In the Burbank foothills.
Really beautiful.
You may remember Adore from our live Burbank Spectacular show or the Netflix show American Sex Cults. In this age of political and financial unrest, find solace with one of our delicious fungal teas or a refreshing shot of heart-fuck coffee served hot over ice or as an enema. If you're an autumn person like me, you'll love Adore's selection of pumpkin-flavored lattes, cappuccinos, and our pumpkin hito, a 4-pound hollowed-out pumpkin filled with the brim with pumpkin-flavored gelato, a half gallon of hard-fuck coffee, a sprinkle of nutmeg, and carved into the jovial rictus of Pope Francis feasting on the dreams of the young. I like mine with vegan whipped cream and a handful of Jimmy sprinkled over a top by a homeless man's parrot, all served with a side of warm cherry stems. So if you are in the Burbank area, check out Adore Cafe or swing on a Thursday night for their Fury-themed karaoke and sex jamboree hosted by me, Stephen Lally.
Thank you, Adore Cafe.
Thank you.
And that pumpkin, by the way, that 4-pound pumpkin that's carved out and has just
gelato.
A shitload of gelato and a half gallon of heart-fuck coffee. And their coffee, heart-fuck, whenever I drink the heart-fuck coffee, I feel like I'm going to die. And that's what I want from a coffee. I want that from a coffee. I want to feel...
Out-of-body experience.
I want an out-of-body permanently. So I don't have to deal with this fascist regime.
If you don't have the courage to take pills, hang yourself, turn the car on. If you don't have a garage to turn the car on in, go to Adore Cafe. Get the hard fuck coffee, and who knows? There's a 50-50 chance.
And also, you know, we take calls every week from people. And, you know, if you want to leave a message for the podcast, it's 424. Get your pen and pencils. 424-262-0904. That number again is 424-262-0904 to leave a message for me and Steve about the podcast. And let's go to our messages. Here's the first one.
Hi, Eddie. Hi, Steve. I hope you can help me with a situation that I have. Some new neighbors moved across the way, and I can just tell it's going to be a problem. And I was looking out the window, and it was sort of soul-crushing when they bought the lawn ornaments out and things like that. And I was hoping you two could help me reframe this. I'm just thinking, well, maybe I should be grateful that I have eyes to see and ears to hear. I wish them well, but I just don't want to engage with them in is this the time for me to start a new project? I just get really involved in something, so I just, they're not on my radar. I don't know. I was hoping you could make light of this, and thanks for helping me, Steve and Eddie. Bye.
Well, thank you. Caller didn't leave her name, but that was... I love her voice. Do you love her voice?
I love her voice. Actually, could you call in every week? And call in every week and keep us up to date about this, because Eddie and I will come over there and we will check out your neighbors for you if it's
well,
local.
Well, you know, by the way, so let's just call you Dorothy. Dorothy, yeah, by the way, that was very funny and reminded me of me when you were like, you know, you're faced with a difficult situation and you realize, ooh, you know, ooh, maybe my life is going to go downhill, but I have eyes to see and I have ears to hear. And what you're touching on is gratitude and like how living in gratitude is something you want to do. And it's hard to do when something immediate like a neighbor. Now, from this phone call, they just moved in. I would immediately bake something for them, you know, I would bake, I hope if you're into cooking, I would bake a beautiful, beautiful dish that you bring over to them and go, hi, we're your new neighbors and we'd like you to have this. And also buy them a plane, you know, get them, this is what I would say, get them a plane ticket and it's Spirit Airlines, because a lot of people die on Spirit Airlines. Have you heard of Spirit Airlines, Dorothy? They're a fucked up airline. They're so horrible. I took them once because I was like, holy shit, only $129 round trip to Chicago? There was a catch, though. Whenever there's a really low price like that, there was a catch. And the catch was, it was like an airline run by people who had their brains and souls sucked out by the aliens. It was a low-rent airline, man.
Man, I mean, what was it like? Was it the turbulence where you just feel yourself fall?
No. It was just like, you weren't allowed to bring anything on the fucking plane. Like, you couldn't check a bag. No, you could check a bag, but they charged you for it. Like, the way they got their money.
It was a boxcar to Auschwitz, is what you're saying.
Basically. But anyway, Dorothy, that's what I'm going to call you, unless you leave your name next time. But don't, you know, bake something really nice, gooey, so these people will have, you know, a heart attack maybe. Like, bake something with a lot of sugar and a lot of cream, even though I'm vegan.
But you eat Napoleons.
I don't eat Napoleons. Didn't a you? Vegan Napoleon, maybe.
Oh, there are vegans.
Oh, because I tweeted that?
Yeah, I was wondering.
I just tweet.
You have to explain this.
I tweeted that I feign illness in bakeries to get a free Napoleon. And, you know, I was just being funny, but, you know, because I think it'd be funny, like, oh my God, I'm faint. You know how people in restaurants, they get comped for certain things if they
feel like they're not having a good time.
Oh my God, this is a horrible experience. This bakery, it's too hot in this bakery. So I was trying to do something like that.
Well, that explains it.
But Dorothy, get them a ticket on Spirit Airlines to Honolulu. It'll be worth whatever that is, like $2,000 or something, because you'll never see them again. They'll die over the ocean. What do you say to this problem?
First of all, I appreciate that you're giving a sincere answer, because I was trying to be a smartass. But oh my God, that is so difficult when you have someone move in that's going to make your life hell. And she didn't specify what this person's or people are doing either.
She's like me. Like, when I get a neighbor and I look at him, I go, ooh, potential
disaster,
trouble. Well, you'll see. You should update us on it.
The gratitude thing is right, though, what you said. I like the gratitude thing.
Yeah, you know, but can you be grateful for your eyes? Because it's like a fish being in water. We have our eyes. You know, I guess that's part of being grateful, is you have to step back from it and realize, how do you be grateful for something?
You got to pray for them.
That's a good one.
Yeah. You pray for him.
Talk to Dorothy about that.
And you pray for your own peace, like if you're really into prayer or spirituality and meditation. You try to pray for your peace and for their well-being and peace and, you know. It's tough, man, you know. But, yeah, that's a good one. Maybe make friends with them, bring them something, try to make a nice gesture. Those are good. Those are good wisdom,
I like to be,
ideas, man.
Well, I like to be just smiley. But, you know, if they are assholes, they're going to be assholes. You know what I mean? Like, but I think try to be friendly. Yeah, pray for them, meaning send them good energy. And then buy the ticket Spirit Airlines if that doesn't work, because that'll kill them.
JetBlue, Spirit Airlines doesn't work, JetBlue is a close second.
Oh, no. I love JetBlue. Oh, why do you say that?
Well, you could die on JetBlue.
You could die on any airplane.
Well, but there have been some recent crashes, I think.
Oh, really? Yeah. Well, all right. So let's go to another ad on this
flying
one.
Flying JetBlue. I shouldn't even say that.
I like JetBlue. Okay, so here's another ad. And by the way, we are so privileged to have this company. They're called Luxo Catheters, and they're just the greatest people, and I love them. And just thank you, Luxo Catheter, and thank you, Matt Rasamoto, who writes these ads, and our producer.
I used Luxo Catheters after my accident, by the way. Thank you, Luxo Catheters.
You still haven't been laid since the accident?
No.
And we were talking about this. It's almost a year now.
It
could be a whole
year
without sex for you.
It could be. It could be.
Looking like it, maybe. Even though the holidays, a lot of people get a little loose, don't they? They get a little tipsy. A little flirtatious.
I'm
going to
try to not make it happen, but maybe someone will break through and penetrate.
Well, that's what it's all about, penetrating. Right?
I don't remember.
Well, you could look at a film.
It's not the same.
I was trying to say film, and I said film. You could look at a film. All of a sudden, I'm a Swedish.
Like a fucking Southern sharecropper.
Anyway, Luxo Catheters, thanks, Matt Rusamato, for writing these. And these are real ads. As a celebrity, I live a life of violent opulence. And as a man of taste, I don't dabble when it comes to robotically injected catheters. My 2006 Honda Element is a Banksy. I wasn't going to trust just any aftermarket laser-guided penile implant device to explosively propel an unlubricated tube into my urethra. I demand the best, and that's why I am a Luxo man. When I squeeze the duck that starts my Honda Element, it activates my Luxo Auto Cath. As soon as my car reaches its top speed of 34 miles an hour, robotic claws scramble towards my zipper, exposing my male member and holding it in place while a nozzle uses high-velocity pressurized sand to negotiate 13 inches of plastic tubing past my pelvic bone and deep into my bladder. And when I get to my destination, the whole process happens in reverse. All in under 0.3 seconds. When you live the baller lifestyle, you don't have time to cath. Luxo brand auto catheters for the discerning gentleman.
Who fucking thinks of an invention like this? What kind of a sick mind?
They're great. And the reason why me and Steve are laughing is because they kind of tickle when they go in to your penis. Gentlemen, if you don't have time to cath and you're busy like me, get a Luxo catheter. It robotically claws its way into your penis and, you know, and then it caths you. It you know, it's great.
You can't be living the calf life.
I tell you this sentence. While a nozzle uses high-velocity pressurized sand to negotiate 13 inches of plastic tubing past my pelvic bone and deep into my bladder, I felt like I was back in my element, which goes up to 35 miles an hour. So they're just a great company, aren't they?
They are. And it's really penile poetry, really, the way that Matt Rasamoto write these beautiful commercials.
Okay. Now we're gonna go to another phone call. This one from my buddy Steve. Another Steve.
Hi, Eddie.
Oh, wrong one. Here we go.
We just wanted to listen to her voice again.
Right.
Hey, there is a message from Canada to all the people in Eddie Pepitone land. The Bitter Buddha, the pep talk. I'm calling from Canada. My name is Steve Kowalczyk. Eddie might remember me from Facebook land because I would send Eddie really neat stuff that I would come across related to Buddhism and stuff like that. And I wrote a poem called For Eddie, and the first line is, look at the comedian interview the president. I'm calling from Canada because, anyway, hi, Eddie. It's October 16th. It's 10:48 PM. I'm calling from Toronto, Canada, and, weed is going to be legal in my country in about just over, in about an hour and, 48 minutes, but who's counting? It's an hour and 10 minutes, actually. From now, weed will be legal in my country. I've smoked up about half an hour ago. It's my last time smoking weed illegally in my country because it will be legal now. And I wanted to, I guess, share that with your audience. It's a pretty special feeling, actually. It's pretty cool. And I would push, I would encourage all my American buddies. I feel really sorry for all my American friends for the bullshit your country is going through. She can, it's legal in California, so you know what I'm talking about. This is no big deal. You guys, you California guys, you have it happening. Okay, now, do I continue to ramble on or do I make the message short and end it here? I'm not sure what to do at this stage. Gosh, you know, I'm so starstruck to be leaving a message for Eddie Pepitone, who I have been following for quite a while, five to 10 years. I really like the way
Hold on. I feel high just after listening to that. I mean, it's mellowed me out. I feel, there's more.
Talk, podcast quite a bit. Anytime he's doing anything, I drop what I'm doing and, you know, want to always hear what Eddie is talking about. So I'm happy to know that you're out there somewhere doing stuff. And I'm really running out of things to say. Oh, my last thing to say, I guess, I have a prediction that tomorrow, all across the country, the following joke will be told at water coolers, whatever, workplaces, everywhere tomorrow in Canada. The joke would be, hey, man, somebody broke into my place last night and legalized all my weed. That's the joke. Take it easy, everybody, from Canada. Rock on, and don't do anyone I would do. Bye.
Yeah, hey, thank you, Steve. And you could tell Steve was high, couldn't you? He was kind of like...
Could you?
I think so. God. Just because, you know, he was kind of like, searching.
Does it make you feel better at all, ever, that there's people who just hearing you makes them feel better. Doesn't it?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I love that. And that's why I played that message. No. Yeah. Of course. When people reach out to me and tell me nice things, you know, and it is really cool. Except with my personality, I take it in. I feel really warm. But then my other shit takes over, like the self-loathing stuff that I have to work on, always is kind of at the forefront. How about you?
I mean, I ran into a guy the other day in a shop, I must have sent him an email. He was a guy I knew just from passing, you know, a show business guy.
I love show business.
But he's a nice guy, you know, I have to say that. He seems like a nice guy. And he said he's interested in comedy, so I sent him, emailed some comedy. Mm. And he ran into me. He goes, my wife and I watched your comedy. You're hysterical. You're really funny. And we really, and I mean, I almost cried. I had to hold back tears, dude.
Really?
Yeah. I was like, man, thank you so much. I don't know what it was in the moment I needed to hear it.
Yeah.
You know, it was like I wasn't feeling maybe. But I think, yeah, it means a lot. It makes, it's a healing thing. But it's not permanent either. Like you said, it's not a permanent thing. But it makes me feel good.
Yeah, it does feel good for sure. You know, I mean, because the world, you know, the thing that makes the world go around, and we were talking about this before in the car.
In the element.
I never finished the first thing we were talking about.
What was that? I don't
remember. I don't remember now. But we were talking, too, about doing things for others is the key to happiness.
Like, that's an easy thing to forget.
Like just being kind to other, the opposite of like what's going on, you know, with white supremacists fighting Antifa people, you know, like people who just want to fight and violence and harm others, you know, and it seems like the culture is almost based on harming others, you know, it's like kind of the pursuit for money. And the, it's just so brutal that it's like it becomes dog eat dog, you know, which is why I think, you know, it's crazy. It's just reached its limit, you know. We've reached our limit as far as greed and cutthroatness. You know, we need to like care for each other, don't you think?
Would you, what is the thing that is the worst for me is feeling disconnected. I think I said in the car. Feeling
you said not, a lot in the car.
Did I? I just was. You just listened. You're a good listener, by the way.
I'm a very good listener.
So getting back to what I was saying, no, but feeling disconnected, not feeling angry. I'm not feeling necessarily. I want to fight, but I'm not feeling love. I'm feeling callousness. I'm feeling.
When you're disconnected.
Yes.
Feeling disconnected.
Things don't matter, you know, and.
Yeah. Now, what's key there is how do you get out of that feeling? How do you go from feeling disconnected to connected? You know, do you pray? Mm-hmm. Do you do an act of kindness? Do you talk to somebody who you know is also a spiritual person who gets you? Do you hang out with the friend who makes you feel? Like, there's tools we have to, like, not feel disconnected. But here's the catch 22 about feeling disconnected is that you don't want to reach out or do those or use those tools when you're feeling that. You tend to go inward and not outward where you need to go. Like you tend to like just kind of isolate with that shitty feeling instead of like saying, oh God, I should talk to someone, you know, because you feel like you don't have anything to offer that person, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, the negative voices in your head are telling you, no, this is not gonna, don't do that. Don't reply to them. Don't help that person. Don't do this.
Right.
It's not, you know what? You're just going to irritate them. They don't want to hear from you. I mean, shit like that runs through my head sometimes when I'm feeling that way. And then something small will happen and I will come out of it.
You're out of it today? You feeling better today?
Yeah. Sometimes seeing you makes me feel better, believe it or not.
That makes me feel better.
Yeah.
Hey, drop me a line if I make you feel better.
He's serious.
No, I'm not. but I know people have told me that, and it's hard for me to not make people feel better. You know what I mean? I mean, look at me.
The Band-Aid on your head.
I have a Band-Aid on my head. I don't know if you can see it because I got a Band-Aid, perfectly skin tone Band-Aid.
Not really. Not.
I can't see it on face. Can you see? I have.
You can't. You can't unless you tilt your head. You can. But I mean, it's right in my face.
Whatever.
It's right in my view.
It is?
Yeah.
There it is.
But when you're saying we're struggling, Steve and I are struggling with this Band-Aid on your head, there's just. You look like a guy who's not it's fucking
like,
lying.
It's like I just came. I just came from the docks. Hey, Steve, we got the podcast to do. I had to stitch up my head myself because health insurance doesn't cover it. And the docs have been really rough lately. It's not unionized anymore. And
did they choose you? Did they say, come on and work?
No.
You had to fight.
I had to fight for it. Just so I could buy. I got enough money for salt today. I'm going to buy some salt. And then hopefully tomorrow I buy food and put the salt on it. Anyway, welcome to it. This is like the blue collar, like the guy who's so beat up by life, but his friend told him to start a podcast because he's got a gift of gab. And he's like, welcome to my podcast. I'm Al Fredericks down here by the docks. God, it's terrible down here.
Ugh. Go ahead, Al. Tell him.
And this is Fred Johnson, who is my buddy. We both just unloaded a crate of shit from China.
They didn't pay us.
They didn't pay us.
Maybe tomorrow they will.
We're hoping to get money tomorrow.
For food.
For food.
Eddie, what's your name again? Al? Al got the salt, though.
Anyway, anybody hear about Red Tide?
That down in Florida.
Fuck, you know what we didn't talk about at all? How many minutes in are we, Aaron? 45. We never talked about another fucking storm whacked.
Yeah.
The United States. And man, this global warming and superstorms is just, it's fucking scary, man. It's scary. I shared an article, and I was thinking about this. This is kind of making people feel bad, but I shared an article about the UN recently came out with a study saying, we're done. The climate, did you see that article I shared?
I think so.
The climate genocide, they called it. And even if we turn things around now,
it's too late.
We're fucked. Climatically, and Hurricane Michael just destroyed parts of the panhandle in Florida. Now, you have people.
No, not there, but I toured.
Oh, so why talk about it? Anyway,
I toured through there.
You did? That was not anymore, you know.
Well, I don't know.
Maybe. What's it like over there?
The water.
I've been there, actually. It's
the
nice.
The water tastes funny. The water
really?
Tastes
You're
like
not supposed
it's been
to drink.
Treated with some kind of a chemical when you drink the water.
Oh, the tap water?
Any water. Any tap in bottles. It's bizarre. Very strange.
In the panhandle?
Yeah.
What do
water
you
from a water fountain. Like if you go get a drink from a water mm-hmm, fountain, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The water always. And this is a couple of years ago that I was there. I don't know.
Fuck.
Yeah. Man. So I don't know, man. It's already pretty fucked up over there, though, too.
What? Before the hurricane?
Yeah, I mean, the panhandle of Florida?
Tell
they
me.
Call it the Redneck Riviera.
Oh, is that the Redneck Riviera?
Yeah.
So a lot of poor people, and now they're just desperate. They don't have, I mean, supposedly they're getting a lot of help. I don't know. Food, water, right?
I mean,
they don't have any, their houses are fucking, right?
I don't know. I don't know anybody who lives there. I don't know what happened.
Oh, I thought you might have been following the news.
I got to say, I kind of tuned it out. I feel bad about it, but I tuned it out because it's too fucking depressing, you know? You know, mm-hmm. And I don't want to be perpetually, like, depressed and anxious about it.
Yeah, well, the news, you know, we talked about this, too. It isn't sex that sells. It's fear that sells, and my wife has a name for what the news does. Grief porn is what they do, and like they just show all the devastation. That it's grief porn, it's fear porn, you know, war porn. That the news, you know, trades in, and so. It does get to you after a while. I used to tape BBC News. It sucks. BBC is their news that's broadcast here is just as bad. I don't know how it is in England, but here the stuff that comes here is just prepackaged shit like our news. You know, it's done in a nicer accent. You know what I mean? All top story tonight: Hurricane Michael has devastated the Florida. You know what I mean? It's like a little more palatable,
mm-hmm.
But it's the same shit, like Obama versus Trump.
Right, it's
more
a,
or less the same shit.
Right, it's a
you know, corporate whorism.
Paint on a turd, basically. You know, a well-painted
vermeer. Paint on a pig. What did they
say? Lipstick on a pig?
Lipstick on a pig. And I resent that as a vegan. Pigs are fucking great.
But they're alive sweet. If they're you're putting sweet. Lipstick on them, usually, at least.
Yeah, man. So, yeah, but the news can be so fucking, like, you're just like, oh, my God. Because the way they, it's just fear, like you're
it's like a paranoia vibration, constantly sending out a paranoia vibration. And it's amazing to me, people who want that. There's people who want that.
Oh, it becomes addictive. You don't understand addiction. That was another thing Steve said in the car, that I'm kind of an addict, and Steve is not. You don't have an addictive personality. I do everything kind of addictively, or I have to watch out for that tendency.
Well, can you give me like a, besides smoking weed or something, can you give me like a real world minor
example? Recently, the hurricane before Michael was Florence.
Yeah, the one that hit the Carolinas.
I was addicted to following the coverage on that, and I didn't like myself for that. Like, I was like, oh, it's getting bigger. It's getting, like, the winds were getting bigger, and I was like on my phone going, the winds are getting bigger.
What the fuck?
And it was like, I think it was like I was kind of addicted to this event, this spectacle. I don't know. Also, I get addicted to sports. Mm-hmm. Like, I have to watch. Like, I'm better, though. I feel better. You remember that famous Monty Python sketch, which is like, bring out your dead. And this guy is brought out, and he goes, I'm not dead yet. I feel better. Hey, folks, I'm quoting Monty Python. I love Monty Python. We have one more ad to read, and it's from Writer Duet, which is an actual real sponsor. And I'll read this one. I write a lot of pornography. Writer Duet is online writing software for screenplays and scripts. The modern porn star isn't just an actor. They are an Edward Norton style behind the camera production activist. They have opinions on the lights, the post-production process, advertising, and most importantly, the script. While I was working on the script for Anal Crumpets 4, The Reckoning, and that's spelled WRECKONING, the beautiful and talented Jasmine Holes and I worked tirelessly perfecting the script. Me from my North Hollywood estate, and she from under a table in the Cinnomen, Sinomen room at Big Jim's Tickle Dungeon in Tampa. It stands as an undeniable masterpiece of film, and the treadmill of dick scene won us an honorable mention in the 2013 AVN Awards. Adult video things. Best original screenplay at BAFTA. And if it hadn't been banned in Canada, we would have won the coveted Ottawa Flapjack of Video Excellence Award. If I've learned anything from porn, it is that collaboration makes for a better story. Download Writer Duet today. The link is in the description. It was great working with Jasmine Halls.
How's she doing?
Banged out a script, huh?
How's she doing? Is she still, you still talk to her?
Not since the script.
Okay.
Anal Crumpets for The Reckoning, spelled WREC. By the way, I never finished my thoughts. First of all, I want to thank Steve Kowalczyk, and he does send me the coolest things. I don't remember that poem, though, where the comedian talked to the president. Send that to me again, Steve, if you're listening. And he sends me the great music, and it was interesting. And Canada now has, I guess it's nationwide? That's what I heard.
Yeah, but we have legal weed here.
I know. So they have legal weed, and that's a big deal. It's good that it's legal, I think.
Yeah, but it's not going to stop the fucking military from, you know, military-industrial complex.
I don't know what's going on in Canada politically. I mean, Justin Trudeau, I think, is like, you know, a corporatist, you know. But he's also, you know, an elegant, you know, he's got some elegance.
He's got that Obama thing going on.
He's got a little Obama thing going on. But is he a
radical? Is he for the people? I'm not quite sure. Certainly more than the dipshit we have.
Well, yeah.
But good, you know, Canada is nice. I like a lot of Canada. They don't have, you know, they've got nationalized health care.
What happens if you got caught in Canada with weed? I mean, they give you a warning, and you know, don't. I mean, come on.
I think they
Canada,
beat you to death
so
before
fucking...
before this law, they would beat you to death with a hockey stick. You know, or Putin. You know what Putin is?
The guy who runs Russia.
The guy who runs Russia. Smart man. So I think we covered everything. We live in a fascist reverse tyranny run by corporations, and they've been purging people from Facebook. Did you hear anything about that?
I've heard some people say
you're totally disconnected.
No, it's true though that I have seen people posting they're purging my Facebook friends. You're keeping my posts out of circulation or putting people in Facebook jail.
I don't know. Facebook jail. Facebook jail to me would be having to be on Facebook.
Have you been in Facebook jail?
No. So anyway, I want to plug that I'm going to be in North Dakota starting this weekend. I'm going to be this weekend in North Dakota, folks. Fargo, the Front Street Tap Room in Fargo. If you're in that area, even if you're in Minneapolis, want to drive to see me because I don't come around that much. Come on down to the Front Street Tap Room in Fargo, North Dakota. I'm going to be there Friday and Saturday night, and it should be really fun. And then ATC, we have to see if Steve is coming to this, but the ATC Podcast Festival, I will definitely be there. We're going to see if Steve's going to be there for pep talks. That's going to be the 25th, I'm going to do a pep talks, which is Thursday, October 25th. And then I'll be appearing at the Tempe Improv. I'll be appearing on Big J Okerson's show, crowd work, Friday night, Tempe Improv, I think Friday and Saturday. So if you're in Phoenix, October 25th, 26th, come down and see me, and hopefully Steve will be there too. What do you want to plug, Steve? You just got a gig in New York.
Yeah, I'll be in at the Brokerage on Long Island. November 8th and 8 p.m. And then I will be at in Santa Barbara, November 17th, Brazil Arts Cafe with your buddy Mark Brazil on the November 17th, Saturday.
That is super duper. Follow Steve on Twitter at where?
Lolly Comedy, LOLLICOMEDY.
Follow me on Twitter at Eddie Pepitone and give us a call, won't you? At 424-262-0904. Thanks, everybody, for listening to Pep Talks. We'll see you next week.